from 2020 was accepted, and then resolution 6 from 2022 was rejected, whereas resolution 6 of 2023
No,
was.
no. I have the website open right now. So in resolution 8 from the session 2019 to 2020. So resolution 8 was in that it was in it was accepted by the president June 1st, 2020. Then you go to the next session of the UA, which is 2020 to 2021. Resolution, that's where resolution 6 came into play, and that was only acknowledged by the president. And then in 2021 to 2022,
number 6 there too,
resolution 6, alterations to the codes and judicial committee name and function, that was rejected by the president. They're actually in 2023.
There's no resolution
6 in 2020. There's no resolution. Yeah, I was going to say, there's no resolution 6 in 20. Well, there is a resolution 6 in 2023. It was Purple Heart designation.
Yeah.
And that was in the spring of 23. And then fall of 23, the UA actually only passed 3 resolutions. So we need to clean that up to make sure that the dates and resolutions match each other.
Absolutely. Eve, is this an additional remark or?
No, this is it.
Okay, and then David, you're not?
I'm gonna move that we table this one to the special meeting on the 17th.
Okay, do we have a second?
Just that way we can clean this up, I think.
We have supposedly a meeting tomorrow.
Oh yeah, the committee has a meeting tomorrow, yeah.
And do we have a second to table?
Seconded.
Second, okay, any who opposed? Okay, wonderful. Resolution 2, Campus Coach Committee involvement in the Student Code of Conduct review and vision process has been tabled for April 14th. Thank you, everyone. We can now move on to Resolution 5 from the Campus Welfare Committee addressing excessive littering at the Gorge by recommending changes to the Student Code of Conduct. This is an initial reading, first of this resolution. We're being introduced to this now with hopes to vote on it come the special meeting April 14th. So this is a great time to review it and let any questions or concerns be known. Yes, Jason, your knowledge?
Yeah, may I provide a brief spiel on the resolution since it's the first time it's been introduced?
Please.
Very good. So for those of you who remember, Todd Bittner came to us some time ago and spoke about his issues with trash at the Cascadilla Gorge. My committee, the Campus Welfare Committee, met with him or talked with him and then worked on this resolution. And one of the things that we came up with was recommending changes to the Student Code of Conduct, specifically due to, I will say, the whereas in the resolution, you will find that, I have to find out exactly where it is. There we go, 59 and 60. The Student Code of Conduct currently does not explicitly include reference to or mention of littering among the prohibited conduct listed in the Student Code of Conduct. And along with additional investigation my committee did, there was no explicit, as far as we could tell, reference to littering anywhere at Cornell, at least in terms of the policy. There were a few instances in the city of Ithaca that were included in the whereas clauses, which is including 31 to 33, and then in 35 to 39. And so we decided as a committee that recommending additions, explicitly 3 additions, which are not included in the packet, but are on the box in an appendix and line edits to explicitly include littering in the Student Code of Conduct. And that is that.
Thank you, Jason. Any comments, questions, or concerns pertaining to this resolution? Yes, Jonathan?
Not necessarily a concern. So we had talked before about, our committee will have to have a look at it. One of the things that we were considering beneficial is if this particular reference, even if it's spurred by a single event or significant event, can think holistically about the idea of property damage and, let's say, contribution of property onto another place, like littering, right? As disagreeable elements. One of the things that Jason had looked through in terms of the code, it was a lot of elements of, violence and harms, but this was maybe a empty area, and so the potential exists to sort of clarify that potentially in future anticipation of something happening. And this would be like, for example, if somebody dumped 2 tons of trash in the middle of the slope, that's not an infraction right now of any code law. Like, if that's the case, this could be proactive in that way and not be so like this one fraternity in this one case doing this one thing. That's one of the things that I think would be valuable for not only the campus welfare, but the code to consider so that it's not so specific. Because one of the things that we were also thinking about was I wouldn't want it to be a code violation to the point of a student worrying about a Coke can falling and then trying to go and retrieve it from the gorge because they didn't want to get in trouble. So I think we can navigate that.
Indeed.
Thank you for that. Christian.
Wait, I don't know. I find it like difficult to believe that there's like not some sort of like probably like some catch-all thing where it's like, oh, like illegal activity, like even if it's not like explicit, like it's against like what Ithaca rules.
Yeah.
Is there not like some sort of thing where it's like, oh, like if we find that like students are violating the rules that like we can nothing?
I mean,
it's really hard to believe.
Yeah,
Not
I
that
don't know.
I mean, if you can find something, I would like to see it,
Wait, all
but
right. I don't know if I can do
so
that right now.
my preference, and this is maybe like US Declaration versus French Revolution, I'd rather be specific
Yeah.
on all my points than general and then
Right.
let somebody else decide that it fell into that category.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to.
My question, not knowing the specifics, is there an exhaustive list or non-exhaustive list of things that are within the code?
There are, if I may respond, there are a few instances where it says this list, it says like here's an example of a few things, a non-exhaustive list.
We
But
hate that.
yeah, I don't believe from my committee's investigations that there was ever a here's the full documented list of all of the individual things that are referenced in this subsection. So as far as I'm aware, the code is fairly vague in that sense. They say here's a couple of examples. And admittedly, I add littering to one of those examples in the recommended line by line edits, but it doesn't address the underlying problem.
So to that point, one way that we could be helpful as a UA is to add specificity where they have this list. And then at some point, the not exhaustive will sound silly because we're specific, but I don't know how well that'll work.
Thank you. Any other comments, concerns, questions, yes, David?
There is a list of violations that is not exhaustive. It is difficult to find littering in it. One can imagine that it's like under a variety of them, but not clear, right? So it's like alcohol-related behavior, which is is pretty broad. Assault, endangerment, bribery, collusion, disorderly conduct, disruption of university activities, drug-related behavior, failure to comply, fire safety, harassment, hazing, invasion of privacy, misconduct related to student organized, misrepresentation, destruction of code, property damage. That would be the closest, but it's not that.
Yeah, I mean, what I see, I mean, very quick look is disorderly conduct or property damage, recklessly create a risk of disruption to the university community or local community.
Yeah, but this isn't violent or threatening behavior, unreasonably
It,
loud or belligerent, or obstruction of vehicular or pedestrian traffic.
but property damage might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, again, property damage, but again, it's not damaging property. It causes
It's like
a
adding property to
property.
addition of.
And as we saw from everything from,
Yeah,
yeah,
Todd Bittner.
the Todd Bittner showed us, is that his staff is in it's in a danger put in a dangerous position to retrieve said property damage
Yeah.
or additional property.
Yeah. I
So
would certainly argue that some of the items that were shown, such as signs,
yeah.
the
Oh, okay.
heavier chairs, may actually induce property damage by themselves. But
Right. When you say environmental harm,
but I think littering it would capture all of those that where property damage is a little maybe that's right.
it also the code says it complies with like the New York laws, so yeah, and under like New York environmental law, you can't litter either. So I don't know if that's like one way you can try to go through it, but it does say you can't swim in unauthorized places, but nothing about littering. So
Okay.
I don't really know. That was strange.
Suzanne, I think he talked about that and he said the problem was there's no way for him to enforce it through that. So he wanted something that gave him teeth on the campus, I think, to be able to.
But wasn't the problem like they can't guarantee like who's responsible? Like, okay, like we can say, oh, we're pretty sure it's these guys, but like they can't prove that, right?
Yeah.
That's like I think you said like it happened like late at night.
Good job.
So one of the things that I learned afterwards, and it might have been said during, and I didn't hear it, was that his office charges the fraternity a substantial sum every time they have to go into the gorge and clean it up. So there is a restitution element. I think the problem is, in his opinion, it's not punitive enough to stop the behavior. So one of my solutions was like, well, why don't you just raise the fee, like until it becomes punitive to them, so they would stop doing something. But I have no idea what that process is. What Jason brought up, there was no word of property damage and litter or whatever. That's what prompted me to say, well, that sounds like something we should just have in it, not so that this guy can do this one person thing with this one place.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, certainly, if I may,
Thanks.
the point of the resolution, I will admit, in terms of the Campus Codes Committee, if you wanted to strike or otherwise edit the be it further resolved starting at 70 to explicitly say to repeated issues of excessive littering at Cascadilla Gorge, to more broadly emphasize the additional component of this resolution, which is amending the Student Code of Conduct to broadly inhibit the either previous or future incidences of excessive littering that may occur. That would also be a re worthwhile usage of this resolution and the changes it makes. So that would be taken as friendly in general.
Thank you for that, Jason. Any other remarks, questions, concerns? I see that we have a community member that would like to speak, but given that there was no request to speak prior, is there any member that would like to provide a floor to him?
Talk about this one.
Okay, David, since you provided the floor, Barbara Platt, you may speak.
Thank you. Very briefly, I would be very reluctant to see any specific person or organization mentioned in the whereas clauses of the resolution. That's the first thing. They've never convicted anyone of anything, and as I understand it, those people have denied their culpability in the matter for years. The second thing is that my personal concern is freedom of expression on campus. And there have been localities in America over the years where people were doing protests, and instead of going after them for their, shall we say, suspect protesting, they went after them for contrived violations such as littering. There were many cases in the civil rights movement in the South in the 1960s where people were jailed for littering. And as mentioned earlier in this meeting, it's very difficult to prove littering one way or the other. And there's a lot of a pretense for hitting people up for littering violations. It's also extremely difficult to prove that a real action of littering by one person dropping one object in the middle of the art squad can be imputed to an entire organization, even if that person is a member of that organization. So I really would ask the Codes Committee to take a very hard look at this. This is really a potential threat to free expression on campus, and it was not one of the criterias mentioned by the committee that completed the report a year ago on free expression. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for that. Any other comments? Okay, there's another community member that would like to speak. Would anyone like to provide the floor to this panel? I will. Thank you, Andrea. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I'm Quincy Stern. Should be pretty obvious at this point. I am a member of the fraternity method in the resolution.
Oh,
not obvious.
Yeah. That was not obvious.
I'm the president of Lambda Chi Alpha. So my alumni advisor may be aware of meeting on this because he says this is very serious. We take it serious as well. And just to give you like some kind of brief overview on why we care enough to be here, is because this is an issue we've dealt with for years, specifically with the botanical gardens. I was kind of unaware that this was being taken to a university assembly level. This is a fellow member of the fraternity right here who's a lot better at reading jargon than me, and he kind of explained it to me. And so just to give some perspective, we, you know, are all for being against littering. This is something that we've dealt with for a while now, like I said. And we actually met with Todd. I don't know if he said this in your guys' meetings, but we met with Todd Bittner, or at least I did, the most recent president to have met with him, but I know people have before, back in December, to talk about some of the issues. And we basically came to an agreement where our sustainability chair, which was put in place because of things like this, would work on developing a plan that would effectively, I guess, formalize our process of communication with the botanical gardens. Because the biggest problem that we face is that this is kind of a cycle of repeated issues where, you know, a few years go past and then botanical gardens comes to us and says, there's too much trash, you know, we need to do better. We say, how can we do better? And then they more often than not don't get back to us. And so while the code of conduct things are, of course, I think valid to an extent, there is somewhat of an issue of singling us out. And that's the only thing that we're a little unhappy about, because Cascadilla Gorge is a public trail and it is available to anyone in it to walk through. And then on top of that, there are other buildings facing the gorge. There's Cascadilla Hall right next to it. There is an apartment building right across the gorge from us. And formerly there was a fraternity next to us, but they're not there anymore for reasons. And we find that we kind of cop most of the flack for the issues, and we're really the only ones we're aware of that are trying to make it better. As of right now, I'm kind of in the dark in communications with the Botanical Garden, because when we came to an agreement back in December, I told my sustainability chair to start working on a really fleshed out plan, not just a quick one that would make him happy. Something that would probably require like months of development and also funding, and wouldn't just be a simple we'll do better. He's almost done with it. I told him to keep in contact with Botanical Gardens in this semester, and so far we really haven't heard much from them. First time we reached out to them, it took them 2 months to get back to us. So while I totally understand their grievances, there is just, you know, the reason I'm here is just kind of to prove our, or at least help our case that I understand our names on it, but we just wanted to be understood that this is not a singular issue. And I really want to thank Representative Butcher over there, who made a great point about how any sort of punitive measure that might be too specific, especially if it's regarding the Cascadilla Gorge Trail, kind of opens the door for people to be, frat dudes to be kind of idiotic, where, you know, I really don't want anyone jumping in the gorge to get their trash. And so that's why we're trying to work with Botanical Gardens. I understand that they're upset, but some amount of representation for us can be pretty helpful, and some level of understanding would be really beneficial.
Yep. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for being here and to discuss that. I do still think this resolution is something that should be considered. And definitely take out any reference from, any particular area, any particular fraternity. Cameras, could they have cameras?
Part of what we're figuring out is how plausible that is, because he's really big on the CCTV cameras. However, he can't put cameras on our property.
Right.
And then on top of that, just like the logistics of having cameras is like, where would we put them?
I don't know the area,
Yeah,
I was just
so we
curious,
thought about
but
it.
yeah, I do think a resolution such as this, just to have something, because like we've seen, it's not littering isn't, and it's not necessarily your, this is what brought it to our attention, and then to see that it wasn't something that.
Well, what I find interesting is this is the first time I'm hearing that there's just nothing in the code of conduct about this. So, just from my perspective, I did understand the botanical garden's concern, but the frustration that we had was that it felt like all this code of conduct stuff they were talking about was so they could finally be the judge, jury, and executioner for us. But if there's like you said, you could dump 2 tons of trash on vibe, and technically you're not breaking any rules, then yeah, just totally there should be something. But I do think it should be understood that like the Gorge Trail itself shouldn't just be like point of contact to shoot us dead.
Thank you for that. Well, not. I'm also wondering if we're taking Lambakai out of this, which actually funny, my first impression of Lambakai's campus was that route was the littering reports, because my dad's Lambakai, so I came toured. It was like, oh, like let's look at it, and it's like, oh, just all littering violations. Do you think that having a section in the code of conduct about littering would more so help your organization in reporting people who aren't members who do litter on your property and make you all look bad? Or would it harm in that Lambakai would be, the focus as a student organization of charges on littering when it might be the department across the way? Like, how do you think that would play out if this was added to the code?
I'm really glad to bring that up because my biggest confusion was that there's, like I said, four of the buildings on Catskill Gorge Trail on the nature area on this side of campus. I don't know the name of it. There's three fraternities next to it that aren't risking their lives when they go to clean it, so they don't just get as much flack as us, but there's still litter over there. On north, there's fraternities that are overlooking whatever that part
All
of,
three,
yeah, that
yeah.
view. I was never told anything about that. This time and time again, it was Land Alpha has a bunch of dudes throwing trash into the gorge. And the reason why I think like any sort of code of conduct violation or code of conduct like revising would be good to an extent is because, like you said, what I'm trying to get through to the botanical gardens is that we can do what we can to like internally fix this problem. I've like hammered it over the head of all my brothers at this point that like, when you go outside to our gazebo, which is like quite literally overlooking the gorge directly, like don't bring food out there. Don't, drink soda out of solo cups out there. We have a trash can on every corner of the backyard to make sure that if anyone's going outside, especially brothers, members of our organization that are being, accused of some things, we're doing what we can on our end to fix this. However, when we have events or when friends come over or strangers walk through the backyard, you never know what could happen. And so being able to not only hold those people accountable, but make sure it's understood that we're not just the people doing all this is was good. So I think definitely the former of your two suggestions.
Okay. I saw Victoria first and Jonathan.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that we're all agreeing that littering and having something about littering in the code of conduct is important, and it's going to be a great way for us to ensure that moving forward there's like an active process so that this doesn't keep happening. And I can understand why you're frustrated on your side. I'm wondering then, like, whether or not we remove your organization's name specifically from this, the goal of this would be then to go through and. Am I right to assume that you're the president now? When you graduate, it's going to be another president, it's going to be rollover. There's probably been rollover from previous having these conversations with the Botanical Garden. And you said you have a sustainability person that's like on it. So how are you? I'm hearing internal, but what does that plan look like if this code of conduct does go through? How are you going to work with it, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to be like, oh, you know, it's not us. It's everybody's problem then at the end of the day. And telling your brothers not to have garbage is great, but then you're, like you said, you're hosting events. You have strangers. So I feel like there needs to be a little more.
No, yeah. Well, on that. Kind of the main point, and this ties into the frustration, is that all we can do is internal events. Because our sustainability chair, for the most part, pretty much sets the standards, sets the rules. He himself he's looked into, you know, installing nets and things like that in the area. But, you know, maybe us in the Botanical Gardens kind of agree on this, that, you know, we've had situations where we have events outside, we see someone, like, purposely throw something into the gorge, beer can, red solo cup, whatever it may be, they're asked to leave the event immediately. And so if we could do that, but then also take in mind that that person can be held accountable by student code of conduct, and then, you know, the IFC is aware of that, and SFL is aware of that too, that can be applied to not only us, but every organization. And so the way that we would implement that is by saying, using the rules. The way frats work is that, like, we play by the rules, we do what we can to play by the rules. And, you know, seeing that this has been kind of a gray zone of a rule, because Botanical Gardens just seems to, you know, choose when to be upset about it. And then on top of that, they don't really have the tools to actually, like you said, make, like, meaningful punitive measures. This is something that I don't think anyone would really, but it's the same way that we abide by the IFC policies for, you know, ending events on 1 a.m. Same way that we abide by, you know, whatever rules, like no art outlaw things, the, you know, no littering on public property at your events or just in general. So it would be woven into our systems just like any other rules.
So I guess what I propose, or as to address something like this, is that I mean, in addition to removing the particular fraternities or mention through those, I think what about as part of the resolution that we would actually formalize if there are any areas of special concern that involve specific stakeholders, that they have to actually have a written process. Because that way you guys know what's expected, but it's also underneath the code, meaning it, whatever it is, it has to achieve these things. And that way it wouldn't be just you, but anyone, because I mean, in the winter, a lot of things are revealed when you start driving back up the hill. And I'm like, there's no gorge here, but there's a couch right there. And what, you know, and I would think that, you know, the idea there is that if you're communicating a shared interest in cleaning this stuff up and stopping that from happening, then some sort of agreement like that would be very appreciated, because you want to know what the target is to hit too. But, you know, we all recognize you can't stop humans from doing stuff. That's why you have a backstop of whatever these fees are and whatever. That makes sense?
When you talk about, like, stakeholders and things, you mean the individual organizations themselves, or the, like, IFC, Panhellenic, and MPFC organizations that all in some way have some groups that have houses, most do, because, like, one, you know, litter affects it all, so, like, my sorority has a house, we can't have even empty cans on our property, so I'm, like, always going through and collecting litter myself. And when girls are proven to have littered on our property, it goes against their security deposit. And that's within our internal policy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Panhellenic has, like, rules for you can't participate in recruitment if you have litter, because we don't host events. So for us, that isn't as relevant. But, like, if IFC had a policy like that, the student assembly no longer fund IFC or Panhellenic, so we can't enforce things like that. I assume sorority and fraternity life could, but I think stakeholders needs to be a bit more, it needs to be a more specific term.
Do you think,
when thinking about student boards?
Sure. Do you think that given the specific disconnect or this separation between Hellenic and other groups, like, we would have a separate resolution about Hellenic organizations working with the Panhellenic?
We already have to, so it's more like sorority fraternity life, and then there's some other student orgs that have, like,
on campus that aren't aggressive,
I'm just trying to figure out what the largest, most inclusive umbrella that doesn't capture some other irrelevant event.
I think what you said about the special areas is like key there, and the umbrella term is like, that makes sense. And like, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but
Zora,
as Zora was saying, you know, there's a lot of organizations that have houses, and you know, like, there's no rule about littering in the code of conduct. Everyone should be held accountable, whether it's an organization with a house or a student walking back from a party that's not affiliated with anything. And I think the thing that is confusing to me is that, or not confusing, but the thing that I think we should be getting at, that I'm working at, is that those areas of special interest is just our house. Because a lot of the other houses that are, you know, around a specific natural area are at a greater advantage than us, because it is much safer for them to go pick up the trash on their own. Like Kaisai, for example, they're next to a major area. I've talked about them before. They can just hop over and go clean it up. I have had guys break bones going into the gorge trying to pick stuff up because they want to do it on their own. And, well, let's see if we can lower the rate that we're going to get. And, you know, I hate it, but at least they care. My biggest thing is that the areas of special interest should be handled in turn. And that's what I'm trying to get with the botanical gardens, is that, you know, a blanket policy that holds everyone accountable for littering in general is great. I think, you know, the houses that are next to special interest areas are like extremely obvious who they are, and holding them to a higher standard in the code of conduct makes it not a blanket thing. And that's why with the botanical gardens, my frustration is like, let's deal with this together, because, you know, there's littering all over this campus that should be handled. You know, that should be code of conduct. Us, between us and the botanical gardens, we should figure out, you know, how do we make sure that this specific area is okay.
Thank you for that. I will entertain any motion to extend our meeting.
Okay, extend us
to 6:30. Okay, second.
Seconded.
Seconded. Okay, thank you very much. Any other comments, concerns regarding this resolution? I will note that the biggest point of contention is around the specific name.
Yeah, line 71.
Right? Mm-hmm. So line 71, and so I think in that regard, we may entertain the idea of removing it.
So moved. So moved.
Oh, move to what?
To amend, to remove the recommendation.
I mean, it has to go to our committee anyway.
It's going to be front of the government.
Yeah. I was just going to say, is that tomorrow at 4:30 we have a vote committee.
Which can be discussed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unable.
Oh.
I have lab meeting and then other.
Okay, so hopefully you'll be able to communicate whatever sort of amendments, etc. were made.
Indeed.
Victoria, your knowledge?
I think just the last thing that I agree that making like a process would make sense. I also understand defining stakeholders and having a specialized area, but I still don't agree, and I want to like really voice it, that having it be handled completely internally, that's why this problem continues, and there has to be some kind of bridge between the two. I do think that if y'all are feeling like it's really on you, showing up to things like this is important, because you get to have an opportunity to help us figure out the best way to do it. The goal is not to alienate you guys. The goal is to stop the litter. So I really don't think that it should be like the code is a blanket statement on its own. It needs a specialized area. And I think it should be all of the areas around the porch, not just them. I mean, if there's an apartment, you can't say only student organizations, because the people are living there. So the specialized areas should include everybody around the naturalized area.
Apartment complex.
I don't know how that would like work, but like in theory.
Right. I think we can talk about I think you ought to talk about the idea of having kind of a more general thing for the student code of conduct. I think the botanical gardens are really dealing with the internal mechanism as far as fining is concerned. Right. And so thank you so much for coming and speaking to us. Thank you everyone for speaking thus far regarding this resolution. Is there anything else that people would like to comment on? If not, we have some boards to go to. Okay. Thank you so much for that. We are now going to move on to assembly reports. Thank you so much.
I can't make tomorrow's awesome dream.
First, we have
I had to go 20 minutes ago.
No worries. Student assembly report. Hey guys, this meeting's not over yet. Please move on to the student assembly report.
All of our resolutions are that are passed or relevant are already made. So far, we have our student activity fee has been approved. So, I'll speed this up.
Can you speak up a bit for people online?
Okay. The only thing is that the $24 student activity fee was approved by President Kalkoff. I think beyond that, it's just a regular flow of resolutions and meetings and things. And we are, as of tomorrow night, entering our 3-week election period.
Oh, wow.
Campaign and election.
Thank you so much. Any questions for student assembly? Seeing that there's none, we can go ahead and move on to graduate professional student assembly.
I will speak as one of the graduate students here. The last meeting that we had on March 23rd was fairly quiet in terms of resolutions, but we did have a meeting with representatives from Cornell Graduate Student United. So that was a bridging of the graduate student and graduate student interest and the broader graduate professional student community. So that occurred. We had the Vice President of Finance talk about updating appendices that are important for funding and managing student organizations. And then finally, we had our Executive Vice President discuss the current election process and timeline, where Graduate Professional Student Assembly will also enter our election period quite soon.
Thank you very much. Any questions for GPSA? Seeing there's none, we can move on to Employee Assembly.
Thank you. We last met on April 1st. We had a guest speaker, Linda Kroll Howell, who gave us a presentation regarding data on internal staff transfers. We also just ended our elections voting. Voting ended yesterday at noon, so we're awaiting the results from the Office of the Assemblies. Our next meeting on the 15th, next Wednesday, will be our regular meeting, and then we go into an organizational meeting where we will determine and appoint our next executive committee and chairs of our standing committees. And we have also a coworker coffee coming up on April 29th from 11 to 12 in the HR suite in Day Hall. And that's it.
Thank you very much. Any questions for employee assembly? None, we can go ahead and move on to faculty senate.
Hi, everyone. Our Senate meeting is tomorrow, and we are going to introduce a resolution to revise the Academic Integrity Code to make it less punitive and more restorative justice. We're going to introduce the Middle States accreditation process that the university is going to go through for the next 2 years, and we're going to have the three Dean of Faculty candidates introduce themselves to the Faculty Senate. And our elections are going to be from April 15th to April 24th.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Faculty Senate? Okay, let's now move on to our committee reports. First, we have Executive Committee. Andrew?
Yes, we have been meeting, just trying to work out all of the logistics for these last 2 meetings, now 3 meetings today, and then next week, and then our final meeting, a regular meeting before our organizational meeting, which the 21st is our next meeting after the 14th. So it just goes 7, 14, 21, and then May 5th is our organizational meeting for next year. And working out all of those logistics.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Executive Committee? Okay. Next, we have Campus Codes Committee. Jonathan's absent. David, you're free to speak on behalf.
We've taken up some time. We have a meeting tomorrow. We'll review this. I've also identified the discrepancy. It was resolution 4, not resolution 6 from 2023. It did pass as a resolution suggested. We will amend that and get it back out.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Any questions for campus codes? All right, next we have Campus Welfare Committee. Jason? Yeah.
Well, the majority of the work we've done this academic year was on display here, and it will be on display next week, it seems. So that is that. We're going to be wrapping up and presumably having a farewell meeting at some point for the end of April, I would guess.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Campus Welfare? All right. We can then move on to SITE, Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment. That's Amira. We can then now move on to our liaison reports. We have the Campus Planning Committee. Wendy?
Yes, we met on March 27th. We were provided updates on the Duffield Hall construction, McGraw Hall renovations, and the almost completion of the mining field house. There was also discussion on both the City of Ithaca and Town of Ithaca rezoning. They're going to be working on their zoning maps. And Cornell is in a unique situation because part of the campus sits in the City of Ithaca and the part of the campus sits in the Town of Ithaca. So there's a little bit of different zoning things that they need to look into. There is another special meeting or an additional meeting that'll be held next Wednesday. It's just a briefing on the mining field house and a tour. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to miss it because of our employee assembly meeting. So I do know that Andrea is on that committee as well. So I'm hoping maybe Andrea will be able to provide some of that information from that meeting. That's it. Thanks, Andrea.
We will skip the Coalition for Sexual Violence Prevention and move on to Sustainable Cornell Council's Carbon Neutral Campus Steering Committee. Victoria?
We met on Friday, March 20th. I did have to leave a little early, but once again, they were talking a lot about things that I do not really understand. I tried to ask some questions, but they're kind of in the meat of the conversation about what they think should be formalized as a committee. It doesn't sound like they want to bring like anything to our table anytime soon, but they've been working on writing something down about the like next decade of carbon neutral sustainability for Cornell and what direction they should be heading. So they're having some big conversations. I think it is important that we're there. Since my term is going to end soon and you're going to get a new liaison and a new chair and everything, we should make sure that we're jumping into that committee ASAP. So I also think that so much time was missed that I'm not really sure where they're starting from. I'm just jumping in the middle, and it sounds like next year they're going to have some big goals.
Thank you for that.
Just one thing to add, on the 21st, we have members of the Cornell Sustainability Office that will be the speaker. And I think they're part of the liaison. I don't think they're that. So that might be a great opportunity for us to talk with them and talk about this whole process of getting engaged a little bit early.
I agree. Thank you for that. How about the Education and Engagement Steering Committee?
So they're making days for the summer, and I was like, uh-oh, term is over in May. What do we do about that? And then they didn't answer. So there is a meeting on the books, but it's like June 12th.
June 12th?
Yeah. Wait, no. Not June 12th. June. Because I know the people, it was not. That's on Friday. It's June 11th. It's a Thursday. Pretty sure. So, yeah, I won't be able to attend that, but they might move it.
Okay. Thank you so much. Next, we have, we'll skip the Operations Steering Committee. And there were no late additions to the agenda. And so we will now move on to open forum.
Good. One thing I just want to say is that we heard Amira will be presenting next week. And again, it's a question of it's resolution 5 or 6 based on
introduction
with your on the plastics. And so that's another. So we'll have 3 resolutions at our short and sweet meeting on the floor.
Yeah, I think to that point, it's worth noting that our resolutions are formally numbered based off when they're passed. So now one has remained to be one, but now two, since it'll be introduced, has moved to four. And three is now two. And four is now three. And so just keeping this in mind, it shouldn't be a major concern to us. We'll just number them in accordance with the Office of Assemblies when time comes. But
we'll just call them
by their title.
By this
title. Yeah, so just being aware of the titles. We're going to be looking at the campus code's involvement in the student code of conduct review revision process, that regarding the gorges, and then the plastic free resolution are the ones that we will be addressing come our next meeting on April 14th.
Nice. So resolution two is becoming resolution four because resolution six was actually resolution four.
Yes,
right.
So, yeah.
I see how it's
become
a problem.
But I think it was really great that they actually came
apart
from that. Yeah,
when he had said, you know, obviously, I said there's no obvious here. There's nothing obvious about that. So good. It's good to have the community come in and speak, especially when things concern them.
Right.
That's the whole point. That's exactly what we're trying to do here. So
I'm glad that. Yes, to that next meeting. You said it's short. Is it not 90 minutes?
It won't be. Probably. Yeah, well, likely we'll put the same time frame. It'll still start at 4:45, and it'll be on Zoom, but the likelihood of us going to 6:15 is not very likely.
Yep. Not like, zero, but still possible.
Not likely, yeah. And so to that point, for our next meeting, you should expect a call to order section. When we usually have item one, the two, the approval minutes, up to three, business of the day, and we'll jump down to adjourning thereafter. There's not going to be the necessity of reports. Exactly. Wendy, yes or no?
I just wanted to ask, will we be getting the calendar invite from Office of the Assemblies for next week?
Yeah.
Or should I just go ahead and copy and paste Zoom information from today's meeting to next week?
Eric?
I can send an invitation.
Yeah, Eric will send an invitation.
Rockstar, thank you.
Thank you very much, Eric. And thank you so much for that question, Wendy. Any other things for open forum? There is not. I happily, look to a motion to, yes.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay, with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone.